The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Oh, what a game of roulette or musical chairs it is in the state of Maharashtra. Those who were destined to be in opposition or deemed to be in opposition as per the mandate of the people today are now going to be part of the government, because one of the Mahayuti components, a critical and an important one at that, decided to break themselves away from the Mahayuti and join with the enemies. Politics makes for very, very strange bedfellows, ladies and gentlemen, but this is as good as the countdown to breakdown of the machinery in Maharashtra has just begun even before the oath-taking ceremony. The Congress Party, as expected and predicted by many people and also with the thoughts of the top leadership, has decided to give outside positive issue-based support to a Shiv Sena-NCP combined. As far as municipal politics is concerned, for the Thane Municipal Corporation, the NCP and the Shiv Sena have come together, and they have the Thane Municipal Corporation going on with the two regional parties who are arch rivals and, of course, ideologically different. The NCP, an offshoot, a political offshoot of the Congress Party, the BJP and the Shiv Sena aligned via the Hindutva ideology. Now the ideological opposites coming together and forming government with the blessings of the Congress Party. The central leadership of the Congress Party, we're given to understand, was not too keen to get into all of this. But it was the pressure from the state leadership and also the fact that Maharashtra is the richest state in the country, although heavily in debt, but craving for power, and also keeping the BJP out. All of these compulsions, plus a lot of the state leadership now suddenly come into prominence. They were looking at political oblivion and now find themselves in the reckoning and on the hot seat. And that is what perhaps has forced this hand of the Congress Party, that they will give issue-based outside support. But that's as good as the sword of Democles hanging over Uddhav Thackeray's head. And fate has a very unique way of giving back what you give. And about two decades ago, it was Balasaheb who used to sit on the outside with the remote, whereas the person on the kursi would dance around like a mere puppet. And now it will be a Thackeray sitting on the kursi with the remote in the hands of the Congress Party. Is this not a betrayal of the mandate of the people? What happened? What happened between the BJP and the Shiv Sena? It was a bad marriage. Things were falling out, but they would always come back together. They would bicker, and finally they would just come back together and then perform and continue. They have done so at the BMC, that's the Brihan Mumbai Municipal Corporation, for more than three decades. They were able to do that with the state of Maharashtra in the past, and they did it between 2014 and 2019. Devendra Fadnavis being the only chief minister in Maharashtra to complete a full term in the state. Imagine, and he's got the mandate, he's got the majority mandate as part of the alliance and the face of the alliance in Maharashtra as the leader who would take them into the next term. He had the mandate to be chief minister again, but the Sena had other plans because they felt that it had to be a 50-50 plan. And now Devendra Fadnavis, leader of the single largest party in the state of Maharashtra, will now be sitting perhaps as the leader opposition. But it's not about the BJP today, it's about the Shiv Sena. The compromises they have had to make, how much of a cost will they have to pay for it, political cost, what is it that they stand to gain, and how rough and tumultuous is the road ahead. We'll talk about all that, look at all the possibilities, and of course keep an eye on the developments, because things are happening thick and fast, and even now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight on The Right Stand, debate number one, we'll also have experts who would give us their views, and I'm sure you'd want to listen to people who have spent decades covering Maharashtra politics and know the nuances between and the dimensions and the dynamics between the various state leaders and the leadership. Debate number two takes the focus away from politics of Maharashtra and focuses on the dynamics of Mandir. The Ram Mandir has to be built. A trust has to be put in place. Who will be entrusted with this job? Who can we trust among the Hindus? The only person or the only entity that's been named by the Honorable Supreme Court that merits a representation or must have a representation is the Nirmohi Akhada. Who else? And what's happening there? A team of bureaucrats have now been put together to try and understand the modalities and see and look at the dynamics of the formation of the trust and how to go about it. The other aspect is the 5-acre land that has to be given to the Muslim Paksha or to the Sunni Waqf Board. Is there a difference of opinion among the Sunnis themselves? Who will emerge as a leader who will represent the cause for the Sunnis or bring their point of view to the government? The government has already identified a spot. There are two or three options that will be given. But who will decide? The Shias have a point of view. The Sunnis among themselves, between the Sunni Waqf Board, the All India Muslim Parcel Law Board and other various leaders among the Sunni sect itself have different points of view. There are those who believe that we don't want this land because our challenge or our claim was to that particular title for that particular parcel, and if that's been awarded away from us to the other party, then we don't want anything. Why are you giving us 5 acres of land elsewhere? We don't need it. There are those who believe, no, we should take this land and we should actually do it for Ram Lala, and in that 67 acres itself, we should build something which will facilitate the arrival and, of course, the dynamics in terms of pilgrims from across the world who will come there for a darshan of Ram Lala Virajman once the temple is built. There are others who believe, no, in that 67-acre plot, very close to where the Ram Mandir will be built around that area, we should ask for a 5-acre plot and we should have a mosque there. And that stands for the towering unity of the people of Ayodhya, where the mosque will also be there, and of course, so will there be a Ram Mandir. And then there are those who believe that we don't want any of this land, let's just return this altogether. And some who believe, let's don't give us land in Ayodhya, give us somewhere else. So there are plenty of points of view. There is no unanimity. And what is going to bring unanimity? Why is it that when the decision was supposed to unite and it was for unity for us as a country and for camaraderie, why are the litigants themselves, in opinion, divided? And who will emerge as a leader who will make the representation? In the meantime, the government has identified parcels, and one of them is close to or around the area where Mir Baqi was laid to rest, or Mir Baqi's tomb exists about 4 kilometers from the disputed site in Ayodhya itself. It was part, there was a proposal in 2017 for this area to be included as part of the Faizabad or the Ayodhya district. And very soon that could be incorporated. These 40 villages could be incorporated. And if that happens, then that is the land that would be given. But here is the crux. Here is the thing. Mir Baqi was the one who supposedly built the mosque and named it after Babur. But Mir Baqi was a Shia himself. So then who gets control of the mosque eventually if it is built on that parcel of land as allocated by the government? Will it be the Sunnis or will it be the Shia? Because the land has been awarded and the mosque has been awarded to the Sunnis. Ah, who cares? It's Shia, Sunni, whatever they are. It is the Muslim Paksh and the Hindu Paksh. But is it? Is it the case? Because the Shias always had a different point of view. They said that we don't need this place because we will not worship in this place because it's been built over another structure. Let's just give it back to those who believe this is Janmasthan. It's a matter of faith for them and respect, and let's do it in the greater case of communal harmony. The Sunnis said, no, this is Waqf property, and they contested, challenged it, and this litigation went on for at least 70 years post-independence from 1949 to 2019. We've seen this legal fight happen and finally come to a close. We'll talk about all that at great length while keeping the focus on any urgent or immediate developments in the state of Maharashtra tonight on The Right Stand. I'll see you there. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.